Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back and happy Memorial Day. Forgive me. I'm laughing sardonically because it seems that there have been a lot of people that have completely misconstrued what Memorial Day is in context to Veterans Day. I heard Jason Chaffetz, you know, thanking those who served and other people. And, you know, there's a lot of good people that just don't understand. But the whole point of Memorial Day is to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Those who served in a military capacity, who volunteered to put themselves in harm's way. Now, I know that there are other heroes out there that have, you know, died, you know, that were not, you know, serving in the military or what have you. But Memorial Day is a day to recognize those who took the interests and the principles of this republic upon their personal, you know, upon their lives, and they dedicated their service to the cause of liberty. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everyone did that very specific thing, but there were core principles that cause a person. There are core principles back then, even today, why people join to serve this nation. And those principles are basically the same thing. It's all about individual liberty. It's about freedom is what they call it. But I define it as individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And those lucky, you know, people who had the opportunity to serve that didn't die owe a great gratitude and a great debt to those who actually gave that ultimate sacrifice. And so this is our time as veterans to recognize those, our comrades, our those who didn't come home, whether that be in the, you know, the great wars like World War I, II, even the Korean War, and even as well as the Vietnam War. There have been plenty of people that have died for the cause of liberty. Let's just say that. And so I'm going to expound on this just a minute, but let me get right into some of the meat of the stuff that I need to do because I don't want to forget and then end up hitting the brake and so forth. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org as well. And you are listening to the only show that will talk and teach you. Just like all last week, I dove into the process, the argument, and everything about Republic Review. Why it is critical that we maintain the standards of compliance to our contract and what we have to do in doing that. And that was the whole last week of covering that. So if you want to download those podcasts, they're actually up on Red State Talk Radio at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will also tell you that we're looking forward to having Dr. Vile on. I'm hoping possibly this week, maybe next. And I'm also looking forward to talking to Aaron Tilbury. I was going to meet with him last week, got a little sick, and didn't want to infect him or anybody else. So it is what it is. We're planning on rescheduling that as we move forward through this week. Hopefully, I'll have a better time frame for you. So now let me get back to Memorial Day. I remember growing up. It didn't take much. You didn't have to go far. It wasn't just, you know, an outlier organization that recognized Memorial Day. I remember growing up and being able to hear, whether it be at church, whether it be at different functions and what have you, where people got up and told their stories, or they recounted the story of their family or what have you, where their family was directly touched by the loss of a life of those who served in giving their ultimate sacrifice. And over the past several years, I've noticed that either we've been watered down or we have not had the privilege of defending or needing to defend liberty. Maybe we've had the privilege of not having to defend liberty. Or maybe we're all being kind of all put into the same pot to be boiled. Because I truly believe that we're losing this. We're losing the understanding of what liberty really cost. It cost that ultimate sacrifice. To maintain liberty, to ensure liberty is being protected throughout the world, there is a cost to that because there are people that are constantly trying to enslave others, whether that be an ideology such as Islam or an ideology such as communism like China. There's 300 million prisoners in China. They're political prisoners that are kept there just so that you can go and buy a new kidney, liver, or what you need so that you can live another day. And so, and actually, over this weekend, I had learned that a person very dear and near to me has stage 5 kidney failure, which means that if they don't get a kidney soon, they're going on dialysis, they're not going to live. And so, in other words, the rest of their life will be living on dialysis. And so my point is that, you know, we seem to be losing this remembrance of those who have passed and those who have died. Maybe that's for a good reason, but I don't think so. Are we gaining liberties or are we losing liberties in this nation and throughout the world? As Trevor Lawton will tell you, he sees the closing in of communism here in America. And if America falls, the world is gone. We need to really make and take the time and effort in setting aside out of our daily lives, as regardless of how busy we are. We have to fight for the cause. Regardless of what it is and how much time you've got and what you're disposing, we all need to sacrifice something. Some of us are, you know, people try to accuse me of making a living in doing this. That's the furthest thing from the truth. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe you don't have the same, I don't want to say luxuries or the resources or what have you, but we all need to be contributing. Because the cost of liberty is great, especially when you lose it. And I'm here to tell you that when we lose liberty this time around, there's no getting it back. There's no foreseeable revolution that is actually going to answer the call. When you start looking at the level of technology, the level of sophistication and weaponry and so forth that they have today, in being able to find you, identify where you are, and taking you out. It's not the same as the old revolutionary days when they had muskets and we had muskets. They had cannons, we had cannons, or we made cannons. The level of technology, software, drones, everything that they are using in sophistication is going to, it's, I don't want to say it's unmatchable, but there are, the odds are not in your favor. If you are a prepper and somebody that says, you know, I'm going to go down, you know, in a blaze of glory, that's probably true. You probably will go down in a blaze of glory if you're lucky, because who knows, they may take you out before you get to blaze at all, because they have that level of technology. They have that type of sophistication in the technology, weaponry, and so forth that they're using. So why? More importantly, if we do not take days like today and recognize its its sacredness in the cause of liberty, then, you know, we have a lesson to learn, and that lesson to learn, it has a very sharp edge. And I've told you, and it will be the loss of liberty. So I just want you to understand that as I went out this weekend, I could not find a lot of people that could actually stand up and talk about their comrades. I could not find a lot of people that could actually stand out and go, you know, I'm here alive because of, or I had a personal friend and this is what they did and this is what happened. You know, usually there's somebody that can share in a crowd. Out of the entire weekend, I had three stories that were told. And I actually interfaced with a lot of different people this weekend from church and different types of groups. And it's alarming to me to find that we're, you know, our society is getting less and less either attuned or forgetting, and or we're just, there's not enough sacrifice going on for us to really remember what the cause, the intent of Memorial Day is and the cost of liberty. And so I just wanted to share that with you because I'm kind of alarmed. Now, one of the things I want to get into when we come back from the break is I've already gone through, and it took me a couple of days to cover the crap that Snowden had done and why Snowden was no hero. I talked about Assange. I'm going to get back, and I never got into the details, so I will when we come back on Julian Assange. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Well, I also mentioned that I received an email asking some questions regarding evangelicals and why they were not very open and accepting of Islam in interfaith types of meetings and so forth. And this email came from a Southern California person named Mike, which is, you know, I don't know, honey, it's probably, with the millions of people there, there's probably 100,000 Mikes that live in the Southern California. So, or I should say all of California. Anyway,
as I provided information back. And what's so funny is at the very beginning, the first email this person sent me was kind of laudatory, you know, actually flattering, trying to, you know, butter me up or flatter me. And I sent a quick email back going, I don't know, do I know you from Texas or what have you? Just to, you know, find out if, do I know this person? And no. But then this person used more flattery and I'm going, okay, so there's something going on. He's just really trying to try to butter the plate so that he can give me a dish of crow or something. Like, you know, I don't get flattering emails all the time. I do get people that tell me, hey, you know, I've thought about this and or, you know, you're speaking exactly what I've been thinking for the longest time, that type of stuff. But usually people don't go out of their way to be flattering unless they're trying to set you up or get you to open up. So anyway, I sent back an email response to Mike pointing out some doctrines and so forth and talking about division and divisiveness and so forth. And and I could already tell by his response that he, even though he didn't respond, he was already taking, and I'm going to use the word sarcastic, but he was already taking offense to what I was saying. And I'm going, well, this is going to be interesting. So as this unfolds, I'll give you more information regarding Mike and, you know, what he asked and so forth. But I'm going to do that on a different show. Today, I want to get into Julian Assange. But before I can get into Julian Assange, let me cover my obligatory groveling. We have a sponsor doing Red State Coffee. And that sponsor is offering Red State Coffee. If you go to the link on reclaimingtherepublic.org, by all means, buy and support the Red State Coffee. And that way, you are providing direct support so that we can get some funding to go on travel and do the things we need to do. That being said, if I get the support and the funding that I'm looking for, hopefully in the next month or so, then I will be able to actually forego the sponsorships and so forth. Other than Red State Coffee, because I know they've kind of made a commitment and I want to follow through. So please, there's lots of people, lots of good patriots that drink coffee. If you're going to drink coffee, make it Red State Coffee so that you can enjoy your coffee while you're supporting a great cause. Anyway, we also have that crowdfunding out on GoFundMe. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and right there on the homepage, we have a link out to the GoFundMe contribution. So, but you're more than welcome to contribute if you want to. But we need support. And the type of support we really need is we need people getting involved. That's what we really care about. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Let me know what you're willing to do, what you can do. And that may be how, you know, Mike found out about how to email me, because that's the email that he sent me, was info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. So that being said, if you have a computer, if you've got software, I will surprise you in how effective you can be. So you can help. You can make a difference. Just send me an email. Let us know what state, county, and so forth that you're in. And, oh, by the way, the one thing I would highly recommend you do is get involved with the Constitution Club. Go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Okay? So go there. You can start getting involved in both your county and your state and find out who else in your county and state are kind of conservative, constitutionally minded like yourself. I know there's thousands of people on the Constitution Club. So get involved that way. There's also another organization. It's a constitutional, I'll call it a social media type of platform that we're looking at landing and getting involved with those good fellows there. So I'll let you know how that goes. There's also another organization called Our First Right. Go check them out, ourfirstright.org. They're trying to get that Madison Amendment passed to get representation back down to like 50,000, a worthy cause to getting involved in. Let me also ask you, if you're going to do something for Constitution Day, please let us know. That way we can, you know, put a little shout out to you, thank you, or what have you, and let other people know in your area. It's important that we try to bring and raise the awareness of the Constitution. And there's nothing better than trying to do something on Constitution Day. And now's the day to start. Now's the day to start getting involved. You've only got a few more months left till Constitution Day. Don't wait till September to say, oh, I'd like to do something. Let me get something going. No, you want to do that now. And that way it doesn't take and consume a lot of your time. Just plug away a little bit at it. If you're planning on doing something, if you're getting something moving, send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, okay? Now, as I always do, I do check out the news, and there is no news that the federal government is undoing or relinquishing any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So with that means you and I, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to get them to actually start complying. That's the only way. That is the only way, because they're not going to do this by themselves. So one way that we can kind of start getting involved and learning is by going to Red Pill Expo. You thought I might have forgotten, but I didn't. Red Pill Expo is just a couple weeks away. June 7th, 8th, and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. I won't be there, but I will be with, you know, some of my friends, and I'm hoping to possibly stream this. So this is going to be a great event. Alex Newman's going to be there again. I don't think he spoke last year, but I know he's speaking this year. He's made a big mark in the conservative circles as far as articles and so forth. He is exposing a lot of information regarding the kids. And I've been telling you what's been going on with your kids is criminal, what they're doing. And so I'm going to actually cover more information this coming week regarding the school system and what globalists are doing with your kids. Because I had just found out that they have been mapping your kids' biometrics, as well as I found out that the UN has a plan that by 2030, every single living creature, human being, that is alive on the earth today, will be registered with the UN and identified by their biometrics. That way, if you travel abroad or you travel anywhere, they will be able to track you and protect you. Yeah, that's right. Protect you. So anyway, let me kind of dive into the Julian Assange. I'm going to start off because I know I've got a hard break coming up, but I'm going to start off with this. I know a lot of people really love the fact that Julian Assange was a good journalist in exposing things. He didn't care, you know, what he was exposing. And to the fact that he exposed a lot of bad people, I think he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for some of the stuff he's done. But as I told you a long, long time ago, I do not think, I think he has to have his day in court, because it's one thing when you start posting information of people committing crimes. It's another thing to take an espionage, you know, like spy, like Bradley Manning, and the classified information that he stole, that he snuck out of secure spaces and got it to Julian Assange to throw on WikiLeaks. Julian Assange should have understood the implications of that. There are laws against that. And as a matter of fact, it's the same thing with Snowden. I'd like to know why there were two reporters that Snowden sent classified information, and these guys actually printed it and put it out there. Why are those guys not being called for and demanded to be arrested and extradited to the United States? Because they aided and assisted in getting classified information published. There are ramifications to that. We have to take that stuff seriously. Bradley Manning should have served full time. And I'll bet you anything, if Trump is smart, He can find crimes that Bradley Manning was not tried for so that he can be taken back into court and tried and serve time. I would love to see that happen because there's no doubt in my mind Bradley Manning deserves to be spending the rest of his life in jail and, you know, rotting whatever gender he is away. She, whatever. Anyway, Julian Assange, this is a little bit different, though, because he did so much in exposing so many evil things. The guy deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. And I can tell you the globalists, and there's lots of people that are out for his butt. And I will talk about some of that stuff when we come back. But I will just say this. I believe Trump needs to protect this man. I will be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Trump needs to protect this man. I can't say this enough. I mean, obviously, Trump kind of owes Assange a little bit of love because it was Assange that helped break a lot of information regarding the deep state while Trump was moving forward. I will tell you that the damage done by WikiLeaks, how do you say this? The ramifications of what has been exposed has yet to be truly come to fruition. There's no doubt in my mind that Julian Assange has exposed so many different things. The question is, what the heck happened? And we talked about this. Obviously, there was an election that changed who was in charge of Ecuador, and that Ecuadorian took money to basically throw Julian Assange out, even though he had immunity and so forth. There's no doubt in my mind that the deep state wants him, and that's one of the reasons why they're re-emerging these charges on sex rape and so forth, because there's no such thing as a fair trial in any of these European states. They're barbaric states. They do not believe in individual liberty. They were never established. They're socialistic. They are all about supporting the government. And that's one of the reasons why all of those European Union states are all in support of those globalist plans, the globalist agenda, and so forth. And so there's a really good article that I'm basically going to spend the rest of my time kind of exposing some stuff to you. But this is The New American. And if you're not familiar with The New American, this is the John Birch Society book, or I should say, not book, online newspaper, newspaper, magazine, articles type of stuff. And so go to The New American and you will find that a young man by the name of Alex Newman has published a WikiLeaks and Assange Exposed Deep State Crimes. And so this just came out the 20th of this month. So it's worth reading and it's worth going through. Are you a little weak in the stomach and weak in the knees regarding real evil? Because some of the stuff that is discussed and is gone through in this article is pretty nasty. It's pretty evil. And as a matter of fact, he kind of starts off with, indeed, it's time to quote the George Orwell, 1984, as he sums it up and says, journalism is printing what someone else does not want printed. Everything else is public relations. And so what they are doing is, hiding true journalism. That's why I've been telling you and been telling you, the Constitution only restricts the federal government from setting up journalism standards. The states need to start setting up journalism standards to shut down the propaganda machine that we're getting hit with. What's coming from MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, and even Fox News, to me, is becoming more and more propaganda-ish. I mean, there are things that are coming out of Fox News that nobody is going to report on, but they're not reporting on Agenda 21 stuff. Why? Why is it that everybody's completely zip on Agenda 21 stuff? Interesting. So some of the stuff that was exposed was some criminal murders that were done by Obama in the Obama administration. And some of these things are things that I've actually talked about. But one of the things that came out that Alex Newman exposes, that actually that Julian Assange exposed, was the North American Union and this attempt in creating a consolidation of government. And I forget what it was actually called. It wasn't really the North American Union. It was something else where they actually created Ameros, a currency called the Amero, that never took off because it got exposed too quickly and they were unable to package it so that everybody could buy into it. And it was an attempt in creating a monetary union. Now, what Trump is doing with the USMCA, there is still questions regarding the language of sustainability that's pointing straight to the UN and Agenda 21 and so forth. But if you read this article, Alex Newman talks about the North American Union. What he starts off with actually are the war crimes, what WikiLeaks exposed. And the first thing he talks about are the war crimes and how in 2010, he offered a smoking gun evidence of U.S. war crimes, of how U.S. forces literally gunned down some reporters and so forth and kids in Iraq. Now, these types of things that he reported, some of this stuff, came out from, open source, but some of the stuff came from, I will say, I don't think Bradley Manning was around at that point. I think Bradley Manning was before this. And I think that he was already identified and arrested. But anyway, One of the other things that he exposes, and the subtitle for this is Pushing Climate Change Program with Bribes. And so he actually exposed Julian Assange, exposed, and Alex Newman is talking about all of this, all the different cables about the Maldives, for example, and Copenhagen and so forth, and the Alliance of Small Island States, and how they've all kind of been, you know, bought into and are bought by U.S. tax money going to these other nations in trying to get everybody on board with this global climate change program. And in doing that, the intent was to control and subjugate the United States so that we would start transferring our wealth over to these other states. And so it's pretty interesting what he talks about here. And he also talks about how they aided drug cartels. And so this is the one thing that, you know, as unconscionable as it is, understanding that Reagan started this war on drugs and supposedly Bush was big on it, but come to find out Bush had kind of really perverted it by getting the CIA involved and so forth, and how this has all become just ways of undermining, using our tax dollars in undermining our culture by, you know, supporting these drug cartels coming into America and so forth. One of the things that Julian Assange exposed was one of those. But the one thing I'm going to get into, and the one thing that I've got time for this segment that I really want to get into, and I'm going to kind of read out of this, the Clinton Podesta spirit cooking. Don't know what you've ever heard about spirit cooking, but this is probably going to be one of the most bizarre things. And it's not like Julian Assange was making any of this stuff up. He was actually extrapolating, or he was actually pulling out these different emails that he had hacked out of Podesta and out of Hillary and so forth. These people were so, I mean, I think Podesta used password for his password. He was that open. And so you would think that somebody as nefarious and evil and dark as Podesta was, when you start looking at what they were talking about and doing, you got to scratch your head and go, what the heck? Really? This guy should have been far more, you know, sensitive to hiding and keeping these secrets secret. Anyway, so this concept of spirit cooking has been around a long time, and I've been exposed to this before. And so among the, and this, I'm, these are Alex's words out of the New American. Among the most bizarre and disturbing revelations to come from WikiLeaks were some found in the emails belonging to John Podesta, an insider's insider. Before becoming the chairman of Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, he served as chief of staff to President Bill Clinton, counselor to Obama, and chairman of the subversive Soros-funded Center for American Progress. He is also, perhaps surprisingly to those who do not study the elites, deeply involved in the world of occultism. His emails revealed a range of stuff. Consider, for instance, a June 28, 2015 email exchange between Podesta and an occult-themed pseudo-artist, Marina Abramovic. And so I'm bad with names, so that's what I'm going to call it. Marina Abramovic, whose Twitter handle is AbramovicM666. And the quote, something extrapolated from the email, "I am so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place," Abramovic wrote to Podesta before asking whether his brother, another deep state bigwig, would be attending. For those unfamiliar with spirit cooking, this is an occult ritual in which, it's in print, so I'm just going to say it, menstrual blood, sperm, breast milk, and urine are mixed together. What a time for a break. When we come back from the break, I will pick this up so that you can kind of understand how dark and evil these people are. Because if you don't read this, you won't believe it. I'm telling you, you need to be very familiar with how evil these are. We will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, as we were going into break, I was just in the middle of giving you some of the details of what spirit cooking is and how evil this is. For those unfamiliar, I'm going to reread this, so just for your benefit. And for those who actually tweeted out and got other people to, hey, you got to listen to GR. He's talking about spirit cooking, because whenever we do this, we see a little flood of people coming overboard. So that's why we want to reread this again. And there's some other stuff that I want to expose as well. But for those unfamiliar with spirit cooking, this is an occult ritual in which menstrual blood of a woman, sperm from a man. I'm sorry, we're talking gender here. I know some people may be offended. Breast milk and urine are mixed together and blood is splashed around under the guise of art. The ostensible purpose is to connect with the spirits, something the Bible clearly condemns and that has the roots in the demonic. Consider that spirit cooking is considered a sacrament in the satanic religion of Thelma, founded by notorious Satanist pervert Aleister Crowley. Other emails in the WikiLeaks releases included conversations Clinton had about an accused child trafficker, and we all heard about the pedophilia and those types of things were being exposed. This was all where this was coming from. And that the Clintons had protected this child trafficker through their influence. They used their influence to get these people from not going to jail. Okay? Another thing that I really want to kind of cover is Syria. Now, so one of the things that actually came out, and WikiLeaks kind of exposes, but I actually saw this in the regular press. There was, if you remember, Obama made that line, you know, the red line in the sand that, you know, if it's not Assange. The guy in charge of Syria, Assad. If he does this, he crosses this line, then we're going in. Well, he did it, and we didn't go in. There were attempts, and there had been designs for a long time with Bush and so forth in running guns through NGOs, non-government organizations, into Libya that was basically making its way over to Syria and so forth onto the other side of the Mediterranean. If you remember the footage, try to pull up news footage of ISIS. You will look at brand new Dodge Ram trucks, brand new Chevy trucks and Ford trucks with rear-mounted weaponry like machine guns and or missiles, or I should say rocket launchers and grenade and mortars and those types of things, and or they were towing artillery as well. In other words, this was like a poor man's army that ISIS was operating. But where did they get these brand new trucks from? Well, they weren't getting them from Russia. In other words, they were actually grabbing these things coming out of the U.S. that was getting, you know, armaments added to them or weaponries added to them so that they could give them to these Al-Qaeda operatives that created ISIS. There is plenty of evidence, and this is one of the things I'd like to see Trump actually go after. And the reason why, and I believe this is a punishable crime for a chief of state, is Obama knew that by not going after and capturing Gaddafi, because Gaddafi would have turned himself in, he would have loved to have his day in court. Why was it that Obama didn't want Gaddafi to have his day in court? It's the same reason why Ambassador Stevens didn't get his day in court either, because Ambassador Stevens all of a sudden started complaining about how security was getting worse and worse. Remember the Benghazi incident, right? He was complaining and he was noticing that it was CIA and or NGO providing terrorists these weapons and these vehicles and so forth. And he was going, hey, why in the heck are we doing this? These guys are bad guys. And so, as I've said on this show before, I don't say it enough. There is a reason why Ambassador Stevens was at the chancellery. It's a small little outlet from the embassy up in Benghazi. Look at where the embassy is. He had to travel up there to be there that night. There was a reason why he was there. Bad guys knew it. Go watch the movie 13 Hours. Just start watching some of the things that we can understand that there was a real concerted effort and in understanding the cowardice of a lot of these guys that were just getting into training and so forth. They really didn't have the backbone. It took a long time for them to finally come and try to clean up all of the mess. They were trying to kill those few people that tried to rescue. So the question is, why? They were actually being repelled, and they had, there's no doubt in my mind, I truly believe that the Obama administration, and you know, I don't have any evidence of this, but this is all subjection, but I believe that the Obama administration, Clinton's, had directed that they go and try to kill these people that tried to save Ambassador Stevens because they got involved and they saw too much. They don't know what they saw, and they would rather have them killed than, you know, let that information get out. Because why would they want to go? They've already killed this ambassador. They don't know who these other guys are. These guys have some pretty serious armaments and so forth. And they didn't know if they were going to get any more because, you know, it's a matter of time for U.S. to start replying. So they didn't know until they had to have been told that no reinforcements were coming, that these guys were standing alone. Go kill them. I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb here. There is no doubt in my mind. When you read this, go read the subsection of fomenting regime change in Syria before civil war. And more specifically, read the subparagraph with the header, gun running to terrorists, because this is very, very clear. There's no doubt in my mind that Hillary, remember who investigated this whole Benghazi thing? Who is part of the biggest deep state operation in the United States today? Most people see the three letters, it just jumps out, called the FBI. Where did the FBI have jurisdiction in Tripoli to go investigate these crimes? Or did the FBI just go out there to do cleanup? Were the chosen ones sent because they could be trusted to clean up the mess and make sure that everything was tucked away neatly so that no fingers would be pointing to Obama and Clinton? I'm telling you, we have been sold downriver, and that's how dark and evil these folks are. I would love to see Trump have a full investigation on everything that came out of Benghazi, because that right there is enough to convict Obama and Clinton. There was a reason why Hillary, and I'll bet you those documents have been shredded and bleached and they're gone. Why was it that he was sent? However, there may be evidence sitting somewhere in Tripoli that Ambassador Stevens may have tucked somewhere, or somebody else may have had those cables, those communications tucked away. There needs to be a full investigation on Benghazi so that we can bring to justice the death of the four Americans and the injuries of others in trying to cover up this gun running and the establishment of ISIS, because that was the whole reason why it went down, because the people were going to start making, it was already making the news that ISIS was coming from Tripoli. We were already getting that because Assange provided those insights to the world. He deserves a Nobel Peace Prize, if you ask me. He needs to stand time, and I think Trump should exonerate him, but I honestly think he needs to stand a little bit of time, because we have to protect our sources and methodologies and those types of things. We have to also weigh out what the heck he was exposing by actual good means. And when I say by good means, he was coming up with data and information that was not something that was available via, you know, classified means, and people were smuggling it out of classified and secure spaces. He was hacking. He was doing a lot of this stuff on his own and his group. And my hat's off to him for doing that. And he was exposing real evil players. I believe we have enough evidence in these emails. I believe we, you know, all we need to do is just get, I think, the last couple of nails to nail the coffin shut, and we can put Obama and the Clintons cartel away for good and actually be on our way to reclaiming the Republic. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend or weekday, and I hope that we'll be back tomorrow with you. Hopefully nobody takes me out. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.